Welcome to Agents of Speak. He who holds the microphone wields the power. He who is worthy.
We've all got microphones here, dude.
What are you holding it?
I'm holding mine now.
So we had a rather Asgardian episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week, episode 15, called Yes Men, which brought Lorelei to our mortal realm of Midgard. Lorelei, for those who are unacquainted, is the sister to Amora, the Enchantress, and has, as we saw in this episode, the ability to speak and convince men to her will.
And also with fish. Oh, wait, sorry. Smallville throwback.
So, anyway... This is me, Ben, and as usual, you got Dave and John with us.
Yo.
The camera guys.
So,
hi, guys.
This was the Thor tie-in that we should have got after the movie, I think.
So you're saying this is the Thor tie-in we deserved?
not the Thor tie-in we needed. Something like that, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, so they actually teased Lorelei's introduction last week, where she showed up and promptly wooed some guy away from his new bride. And so in this one, that's the continuation of that storyline, and we see Sif show up in the desert of New Mexico or wherever it was, and hijinks ensue. But I thought it was really interesting. I thought... that, Sif's recognition of Coulson, the fact that she knew him to be dead and was glad to hear that he was still alive was pretty interesting. And I'd be curious how that plays out. I'm sure we're not going to see that in the show.
Well, right, because, they quickly went... But I would like to tell him myself that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Their quick defense to say... We're going to save this for a movie.
Exactly.
Right.
He'll show up in Avengers 2 in the beginning. He's like, surprise! Hey, guys!
Basically, you put that knowledge in a spoiler, a hidden div.
Yeah. So we saw Lorelei running around enchanting different people, a whole biker gang, a whole town of cops, or a whole bunch of cops around that biker bar. And then eventually we saw her possess Ward. But not before they introduce a bunch of new weapons.
Lord.
Yes. The Night-Night guns have been upgraded, and now we have icers.
Well, that's what the Night-Night guns were.
Can we say Fitz was the funniest parts of this episode?
Yeah.
He definitely was. He was playing comic relief this week, and I'm okay with that. I think he did it well. But yeah, the icers were interesting. And what was I going to say about that, though? And that's one of the things that bugged me, though, with Ward. And I give it to them that this is plot development. This is just the direction they're pointing the show. But there were plenty of places that you could sort of nitpick at. Like, for instance, when he's first confronted with Lorelei, he could have avoided being possessed by just shooting her outright.
I mean, he's supposed to be this uber... agent who's incredibly intelligent, is incredibly experienced, and when he's told that his target can talk to him and put him under and make him hers, the first thing he does is, well, I think I'm going to need backup over here.
Right.
Not he shooting her.
Well, and it's not only that. We know that all she has to do is speak, and he is helpless. And yet... We also know he's holding a gun that shoots harmless bullets that basically knocks people out. There's no risk in him shooting.
I figured it out.
Ask questions later.
But I figured it out. And I even tweeted this, and it got some favorites and retweets. Ward is the Captain Kirk of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He's the what?
Oh. He's the Captain Kirk.
Okay. Yeah. He's the one that gets all the alien...
Well, apparently.
Yeah, so that he had to let her possess him so that, they can end up in Vegas.
Fair enough.
Kirk only wishes he landed in Vegas.
So, yeah, and I did definitely like. It was funny. We were watching the show, and there was that scene where they get a room, and starts to get a little heated, and my wife is like, "Oh no, we're gonna have to turn this off, aren't we?" Because the kids are both sitting there, you know, and it's just like, oh. They skirted that line. They cut it off at just the right moment. But I was like, if they went a little further, I was going to have to cut it off. And I was like, all right, cover your eyes, kids. But
it's still ABC.
It is still ABC, and it is the 8 o'clock hour. So it seemed like it was about to go a little too far, and they managed to cut it at the right point.
Right.
So.
So speaking of spoilers. Mm-hmm. So Melinda May isn't the one he wants, apparently.
Well, yeah, come on. We all saw this coming.
Yeah.
I know, but he's like, everything he does is wrong. He's going to be like the source of like half the plot lines for the next two seasons. Just by being him.
I love the description of May though. The beautiful warrior with the heart of ice.
Yeah,
he obviously really didn't know her very well.
Yeah.
I mean, even we know that she doesn't have a heart of ice at this point.
True. And it's his loss. It's just his loss about it, that he doesn't see what's there, and he screwed that one up.
But you said spoilers. I thought you were going to say...
Oh, at the ending.
No. We're not getting there yet. Aliens with blue skin, and she said Kree...
Right. We have our Ms. Marvel.
So yeah.
So Ms. Marvel is...
Is Sky.
Under... What? I was going to say, Ms. Marvel is underneath a ton of rock and had...
But hold on. That's not a bad idea.
That might have been...
What's the name of the Kree that met the woman who became Ms. Marvel?
Norvan or something? Novar or something like that?
Or was it Mar-Vell? No.
Mar-Vell was the one that was a good guy, and Novar was sort of the bad guy that was trying to, take over Earth or whatever, and was what resulted in her getting her powers. Activated the Psyche Magnetron or whatever thing.
Well, maybe the dead Kree down there is him.
Could be.
Or maybe it's the beginning of a plot line that they're just now introducing that has ramifications way outside Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Perhaps. Possibly. That doesn't sound like them.
No.
No, not at all.
Weaving a large and complex web, that's just crazy talk.
Damn, if Marvel just ain't getting better and better. So, yeah, okay, fine. It's a Kree. Whee!
Yeah, that's what I would lean towards. Although Sif seemed pretty confident that none of the other alien species she mentioned had been there, but obviously she's wrong, because there's something.
Since when has Sif been the be-all and end-all of knowledge of what's going on in Midgard?
Right. They're a year late to knowing Coulson's alive, so...
Hmm.
But yeah, no, it's... That was interesting, and then... There was something else that was brought up in the show. I can't think now.
Well, the other hole I'll poke in the show, just to be nitpicky, is the opening the airlock in the ceiling. Once again, they played that trope of you open a hole in the plane and everything gets sucked out. And I think the more intelligent of us know better, but, you know... It's a common trope.
Yeah.
Real physics do not work on TV.
Right.
Just, you know.
Or along those lines,
a friend of mine also pointed out that when Ward had tried to shoot May and she was holding a clip, there should have been one bullet in the chamber. And so it should have actually shot her.
That's an irregular gun.
That's true.
So maybe not...
But then Ward would be... I mean... May would be dead, and, you know.
But it'd be a night-night bullet. It wouldn't really kill her.
Yeah, it's true.
Was it a night-night gun, or was it a regular gun?
I don't know. I was assuming that all the weapons they were using throughout the show were the icers, as they dubbed them.
Still not that cool.
Yes. By the way, how many times... I may need to do some medical research, because I want to say that getting knocked unconscious is not really good for your long-term health.
Well, you do know, those people who are watching this and have read Cracked a lot will know that they had an article on, you know, some tropes like getting knocked out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, normal people don't actually... When you hit somebody like that, they normally don't get knocked out. They go down, they're in pain, they may be disoriented.
Right.
But if you truly knock somebody out, you've usually actually done brain damage.
Right. They've been concussed, and they probably should see a doctor.
Yeah.
Or fits.
So you just, all these times in these, you know, on TV, you see these people, on the back of the head, and they go down. Usually that means that they're dead.
Right.
In real life.
Right. Or they have a long road to rehab ahead of them.
Yeah, all right, or you've cracked their skull.
Can we just agree to keep real science out of TV? Because then it's not entertaining anymore.
What do you mean it has to be as realistic as possible with blue aliens and Asgardians and...
Right.
Yes.
They haven't bridged past that already with everything they've done. Let's keep them nitpicky little things.
like a little metal disc that the guy puts on his stump and it turns into a whole leg. Yeah, that's
perfectly plausible.
Yes, yeah.
In the year 3000. Actually, it's too cool. There's a line, right? It's cool and possible. So, you know, as long as something is way up there and cool, it has to have as little it doesn't have to have as much possibility.
So there's an inverse relationship is what you're saying?
Yes.
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 Okay. So the more cool something is, the less feasible it is.
The less feasible it has to be.
Yes.
Speaking of cool inventions, I want to know where I can get...
That thing you invented doesn't count.
What?
That thing you invented doesn't count.
No. I want to know where I can get my hands on one of those Asgardian collars, because I'd love to put it on my wife. No, but anyway...
Oh,
she doesn't watch this, does she?
You went there, didn't you?
No, she doesn't.
Dude, we want female viewers.
Yes. Speaking of female viewers...
He does
not
speak for the rest of us.
Speaking of which, we just lost our one viewer. But anyway...
good one, Dave.
Oh, they're back. But speaking of female viewers... My wife, and I'll share this anecdote on the air, the last one we got off air beforehand and got me punched. But we were watching the show, and I forget how this came up, but I think it was when Sif landed, and they were talking about Asgardians coming from wherever, and so they had mentioned the last Asgardian that came was, or Loki wasn't so nice. And my wife mentioned, yeah, but he was hot. And because they were mentioning, I guess, that Loki was, I don't know what they said about him, that he was not so nice. And then she commented that. It's like, you could probably make the same statements about the current one they're dealing with, too. And she turned to me, she's like, you're right. I go both ways. And it was very... creepy the way she said it. But amusing.
So, yes. Did anybody catch the other ramifications of Sif coming down and dragging Lorelei away? Excuse me.
The other ramifications.
Think carefully. What happened in Thor 2? And who told Sif to bring her back, to bring Lorelei back alive?
Well, okay. So and that brings the question also is, how did she get there in the first place? Who let her get away? Well, I guess she sort of addressed that because she said that she knew some of Loki's secret tunnels and whatnot.
Yeah. Right.
She got out during the big jailbreak, so.
And she escaped during the battle of the, you know, when the Dark Elves were attacking. So, again, a better tie-in to the Thor movie than the original episode.
Yeah.
But where was she in between those events, though? That's the question that is begs to be asked. If she escaped at that time, where has she been in the intervening time? Like, between cleanup duty and now?
She took the scenic route?
Maybe time moves different in Asgard.
Perhaps. I don't know about that, though.
Oh, okay. I'm grasping at straws. What do you
want? Maybe she didn't come straight to Midgard.
Yeah, and she probably tried a couple other realms first, you know. Yeah. Had the same problems.
So, with that, though, so she came here specifically with the mission to capture Lorelei, knowing she was there, with Loki in the position that he's in, I'd imagine he would have had to let her go. I'm curious how he would have felt about that. You know, as Odin, you know, let her come to Earth, come to Midgard to take care of this matter. I guess as part of his cover, he would have to let her go.
Maybe you're exposing the plot of Thor 3.
Perhaps. Thor 3, : it's complicated.
It's a Purple Man Asgard edition.
So, the big thing, you know, the layers of the onion that they like to keep peeling back, the big thing in this one was the ending. That, you know, we saw at the end Coulson was sharing with Skye and explaining why they're going to keep things under wraps and those sorts of things. And we found that May was spying on him. And for a moment, I thought who she was going to end up calling was the clairvoyant or someone, and finally she was going to be a turncoat. It turns out she is a double agent, but not that kind of double agent.
I was kind of hoping Fury was going to be on the other end of the line, you know, saying...
How do you know he's not?
He probably is.
Well,
or at least maybe he's not literally on the other end of the line.
It's electronic.
She could have been leaving a message.
Yeah, it's an electronic Dropbox.
Yeah.
So, not Dropbox, the application, but, you know...
That's not secure enough.
Spies have been using Dropboxes for hundreds of years. You know, you get one spy to drop something off, and another spy comes and picks it up later. You know,
is that how that works?
Hence the name Dropbox.
Yeah, well, you know.
But they should also be called Pickup Box. You got to cover both ends of it.
Well, you know, Dropbox might, you know, sue them for copyright. I don't know.
Well, that's true too. Perhaps. Like, if you're just always dropping stuff in it, no one's picking anything up. They get pretty full.
Oh, very funny.
Fair enough. I don't think they have any ground to stand on for suing them over the word Dropbox. It's a pretty ubiquitous term. It's their own fault for using it and trying to productize it.
Hmm. So is the one click to buy button. But, you know, we all know how that ended up.
Yes.
But getting back to the plot, so, you know, she's probably putting in mission logs and for him to pick up later. Hopefully it's him. We don't know. You never know. At this point, Marvel's done a good enough job that we actually can't be sure. It's the plots are not that transparent at this point.
That's true. But at the same time, given that the message that she left was that Coulson knows, and what he supposedly knows is what happened to him and how he came to be still alive and that he didn't actually go to Tahiti, which, as we heard earlier tonight, Tahiti sucks.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So it really wouldn't make sense for the message to be intended for the enemy's hands. It would only really make sense for it to be for Nick Fury's hands or whoever that upper echelon of people, or that cadre of S.H.I.E.L.D. Specialists who know about the whole Coulson revival project.
So
which is
this...
a great band name, by the way.
Nice. So does this mean that Melinda May is actually level 10?
She may be level 11.
She goes to 11. you know, actually...
In so many ways.
I thought was, you know, that was interesting. It wasn't like, it was a shocker. But what I thought was more shocking was what Coulson said to
Sky
right before that, where it was like, basically, they're going to go after Fury. It's like, you know, or they're going after the one responsible.
Obviously. Yes, they're going after the clairvoyant.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going after the bad guys. But they're also keeping what they know close to the vest.
So right. Yeah, give the rest of the team plausible deniability.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, it's just like, you know, are they going to A, bring him into the show? You know, sure. And are they going to, or is this how it ties into Captain America?
Well, he has to come back now. He has to come back and check on his nice bar. You know, that's might have true. Gotten scuffed up during all the, you know, fighting in the plane.
That's a very good point. He has to check on the bar and make sure he hasn't installed this fish tank again. So.
No.
Well, he was so concerned about it the first time he showed up.
It is his plane.
Yes.
Spent a lot of money on it. Cares about it. And that's where he's going to retire to after he dies in Captain America.
So. Ooh, that does present a problem, though. Hopefully he has a store of that alien blood, I guess.
Oh, I'm sure. Right. This is Nick Fury you're talking about. That's just the place that he wanted them to find it.
Hmm. Right. That's what I was thinking too. Like, it didn't click into my brain in last week, but it did this week. Like, they destroyed that facility. So if that was all of that drug, none of it's left.
Nick Fury has some in his breast pocket, or in the secret compartment behind his eye patch.
Yeah,
or in his breast. Oh.
That's just weird, Dave. You just went to a weird place.
Bring it back.
Now it makes me wonder, though. I wonder if Nick Fury was the first experiment with the eye implant, and that's the real reason he keeps the eye patch, so the clairvoyant can't see through his eyes.
No, because then
that would
the clairvoyant would just kill him.
No, because before he thought of putting the kill switch in, and he still kicks himself on that to this day.
Okay, so he's like a 1.0.
Yes. It's like, man, I should have put a kill switch in. Damn, Nick Fury.
All I could do is type messages in his head all day.
Dude, it's not like Joss Whedon is writing it. Oh, wait. Wow, that it could be possible. Anything is possible at this point.
Maybe Nick Fury is the clairvoyant.
No.
Anyway.
That would be way... The amount of stuff that they would need to explain how that works without him being able would just, it's not possible. You'd have to be Jim Butcher to do that.
As far as I know, they haven't hired him to consult on writing yet, so I don't think we're getting there.
As far as we know.
Yeah.
But the main point here is I think we've exhausted this conversation topic because the episode wasn't that long. So I think we can... Let's give it a score. John, we'll go with you first this week. Oh, wait, we went with you first last week, so we'll do it again. How many capes out of 10?
I give this one an 8. I liked it.
An 8 for kickassery?
Well, I'll give it an 8 for kickassery. not kissassery, but kickassery. And a 10 for femme fatales.
You never have too many of those. Dave?
Okay. Well, yeah, I think I'll go with John with an 8 for kickassery. I don't know if I'll say 10 for femme fatales.
Why is your wife watching?
My wife does watch this. Oh, wait a minute. I already screwed that.
Yeah.
Why would it be a problem? I would have no problem. I want my daughter to watch this. I want her to know that, yeah, you can grow up and kick ass.
Yes.
But now it's names.
But I mean, it was a much better tie into the Thor movie than the first episode. There was a lot of action, just enough comic relief and enough moving the story forward that it worked. So yeah, definitely it's a strong 8.
Okay. Does Davey Jr. have a rating?
Did you have a rating?
He should give his in half capes.
He's upset. So we'll
oh, give he's sulking.
Okay. Give it Shazam capes.
So, I'll go with the room. I'll say an 8 as well. I thought it again. The kickassery quotient was up there. The femme fatale badassness was you know top notch. It was a good episode. You know there were some small pain points, but otherwise, what were you holding there, Dave?
Thor.
Oh.
Okay.
So what did he think?
Is that the one you sleep with, or the one that sits in the box over there? Yeah.
It's not in the box anymore.
Anyway.
So, yeah, I think I agree. I'd give it about an 8. I definitely hope we see more of Sif in the future, because I think that her cameo rocked, and I would have liked more of it. And I wouldn't mind her on again, for whatever reasons. So
before we sign off tonight, as everyone knows, we also do a podcast.
You didn't tell me about that.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Spring that on you. So as everyone knows, we do our regular podcast, Superhero Speak, which comes out every Wednesday, which would be tomorrow. Tomorrow's episode is an interview that, unfortunately, these two weren't involved with.
I had a thing with a thing that day.
It's me and our podcasting brother, Frank Duran, from another podcast, and we interviewed Brett Culp, who is the filmmaker who has made the documentary Legends of the Night. So I'm not going to go into much detail because I want you to listen to the episode, but with this, we're going to be launching a tug so that we can get Legends of the Night played in a local theater in Philadelphia, which is our home base. And we hope everyone will, you know, those in Philadelphia area that watch this and listen to the podcast will, you know, go to that website, you know, say you'll go see the movie. And also we're using this as a way to drum up donations for the MS Society. So check that all out. Again, all the details will be on the website once it goes live. So, all
right, good call.
Cool.
And for the rest of you, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good night.
Speaking of capes, you can tug on ours by joining the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+ at Superhero Speak. If you have any comments on my bad jokes, you can email me at dave@superheroespeak.com.
You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, and various other channels. Or if you'd like to tease the beard of knowledge, you can email me at ben@superheroespeak.com.
We also occasionally rant about things on our website, superheroespeak.com. Or if you'd like to further discuss the prowess of Rainbow Dash versus anybody in the greater geek universe, you can email me at john@superheroespeak.com.
And don't forget to check out our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. companion show, Agents of Speak, which you can watch live most Tuesdays around 9 p.m. on our Google+ page or archived on our YouTube channel. Now let go of our cape. This episode of Superhero Speak was brought to you by Blueberry.com. Head on over to Blueberry.com and use the offer code SUPERHEROSPEAK to get 1 month free on their hosting or premium statistic plans. That's Blueberry.com, BLUBRRY.com.